What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. Dude, it's late Wednesday night, or I'm sorry, Tuesday night. It's about 10:30 p.m. Just got done doing this episode with David Cruz. It's been a while, but it's not my fault. I had two other episodes recorded. I had one with Christine Fisher and Chad Hoover, both people who I really wanted to get on the show, and I'm having issues editing the audio and the video because we had some issues. But yeah, man, it's been a while. I'll try to get those things figured out. Hopefully I can salvage those episodes because they were good episodes, but we'll see. But anyways, we're back. Sorry for the delay. I know you guys care that this episode, you know, this podcast is that important to you and you have to have your fix. But I'm just fucking with you. No, it's good to be back. I had a great recording with David Cruz tonight. I mean, you know, I haven't met the guy in person, but, you know, we've been communicating with each other about 2 years now. And, you know, we're both veterans, both kayak anglers, both dads, both first responders. We've got a lot in common. So every time we get together, we just vibe really good. He was one of my earliest guests when I started the podcast. So it's great to have him back on, man. I absolutely love the kid. Can't wait for the day that we actually meet in person and share a drink and he's all the way in Kansas and I'm all the way in upstate New York, so eventually that get together will go down. But dude, it was a fun episode. He was down at San Rainburn. He was down there fishing the Hobie event this past weekend, and you know, it was great to talk to him, man. It was an incredible event. A lot of fish were caught. Crazy conditions. You know, they got another 100-year storm. I think it's like the third one they've had this year. But dude, it was cool, man. Like, I'm really jealous. I think next year Texas will have to happen. I gotta get down there, man. Like, I have to get down there and fish those waters. But yeah, man, congrats to everyone who went down there. My friend Adam Reiser, he did really good. I think he got six. Catherine Fields, she what, top 20? I think she came in 11th place or something like that. Who would have thought? Fucking had her on the show a little over a year ago, right before she did her first Hobie event. You know, nervous as fuck, getting ready to go out there and put it on a line. And dude, look at her growth, man. Like, dude, kayak fishing, man. Stick with it. Stick with it. You'll go places. But no, man, it's dude, what a great weekend. You know, congrats to everyone who went to the KBF event on St. Clair. The winner would like had triple digits 2 days in a row. I mean, dude, what a great weekend of fishing, man. I'm a little upset with myself for not getting out there and doing some tournaments this past weekend, but it is what it is. But I got tournaments coming up. I'm hitting the local lake here this weekend, and then we're doing Sackett and Henderson Harbor on the 20th. And then I signed up today. I swear to God, I'm doing it. Lake Champlain Hobie event. June 26th to 27th, I believe. Dude, I'm stoked. Well, Drew Gregory's there coming. Mike Iaconelli's coming. I'm coming. Like, there's a lot of people coming. I should quit saying that, right? Anyways, I'm looking forward to that event. Lake Champlain is a bucket list. I know I live in upstate New York. I should have done it by now, but just haven't. I'm excited. I think I'm going to do good. I think that place is right up my alley, and I'm going to try to put an ass-whooping on these fools, but we'll see. We'll see. But anyways, you guys can tell I've been drinking as usual. I'm not here to disappoint. But, man, we'll just jump into this thing. I've already let you guys know who the guest is, David Cruz. So we'll just thank the sponsors real quick, and then we'll do this thing. But obviously, Styx Fishing, they picked me up this year. I'm so glad to be part of that organization. Great rods, sick rods to cover all your needs. They got a 90-day buy them, try them. If you don't like them, you send that shit back. But you're going to like them. They're great rods. They're cheap because they're able to cut out the middleman. So make sure you check them out. But not just check out the rods. Like, they got a whole culture thing going over there. Nick and Nick the Informative Fisherman, Travis Moran, both the owners. They got an awesome library of videos of, you know, tutorial advice or whatever videos, advice. Their true passion is to help people catch fish. And so make sure you guys check them out. Use discount code DARKWATERS. If you want to know what my favorite rod is right now, it is the number 4 reaction stick. That's right. They got numbers. 6 rods, 1 through 6, and they're color coordinated for all the dumb people out there. That's why I'm a big fan. But they made fishing easy for me. They made it simple. So make sure you check them out. Like I said, discount code DARKWATERS. Get all six for 500. You won't regret it. Dark Waters is also powered by Dakota Lithium. Really excited about that relationship. Me and Stormy, one of the owners over there, became good friends. We didn't realize how close we lived together. So I guess now we're fishing buddies. So I'm excited to be part of them. Dude, just great batteries. I can't say enough about them. That power box is the shit. I mean, it's even got a light on it. Holy shit. But anyway, check them out. No discount codes, but we're working on some giveaways. But yeah, can't be more excited about that relationship. X-Zone Lures, been with them about 2 years now. Love their plastics. Just got an order today of some the Hog Hunters. I can't wait to try that out tomorrow. The Swammers, I'm a big fan of those. Whatever, dude. Like, they make some badass lures. They got some badass colors. Check them out. Use discount code capital D, capital W 15, and you won't regret it. And last but not least, Rogue Fishing Company. Look, like, I'm going to tell you, if you lose your phone this year, you're an idiot. You deserve to lose your phone. You deserve that to go pay that money to get a new one. You deserve it, because I'm telling you right now, you go to Rogue Fishing Company, you get their goddamn phone liner, you won't lose your phone, okay? They got all kinds of things that will shave your shit. Don't lose your shit, okay? The lake doesn't deserve it. You worked hard, you know, to pay for all this shit. Fucking spend a little bit of money, get some shit to save your shit. But discount code DARKWATERS. You won't regret it. But that's it, guys. Dude, great conversation with David Cruz. Mostly it's about Texas, but we got into, like, at the end of it, it's like a self-help conversation. Whatever, dude. Great guy. Great human being. Always love talking to him. But that's it, guys. I got a few episodes coming out. I got one I'm recording on Friday. I got an interesting one coming next Tuesday. So try to get caught back up. I'll try to fix these episodes with Christine Fisher and Chad Hoover. No promises, but yeah, man, we're rocking and rolling. I'm excited. Anyways, I'm done rambling. I'm gonna finish this beer and go to bed. But anyways, love you guys. Talk to you soon. Ciao. Cruz, how the hell are you?
What up?
It's been a while, huh?
It's been a while, yeah. I think, 2019 is the last one?
2020, I would think. Right? I don't know. last year sometime. I would say close to the beginning of COVID, maybe?
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. it was a weird year, so.
I've definitely been out of the loop, too, so.
Yeah, but I say, like, you're like the, like, you don't do anything on social media, man. It's kind of weird. It's kind of un-American. What the hell are you doing?
Well, you know, my job, my current profession, I'm trying to stay away from commenting on a lot of crap that's going on, so I don't get social justice doesn't get me fired for saying the truth and what I believe in. So I kind of keep it to myself. Last year, as we all know, COVID hit and it was election year and all the riots and all the bullshit that goes on with elections and politics. So I got caught up in having to work long hours, no days off, vacations canceled. But all that shit's over. I've done two tournaments so far this year and I'm pretty pumped and excited about it to be back in the water.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's one of the reasons why I reached out to you, because I saw you were doing Rayburn. I was like, shit, yeah. I didn't know you still fished anymore.
I didn't know I still fish anymore. But shit, I tried it out. It was good.
Yeah, well, shit, dude. Like, this is kind of what I want to talk about, because, you know, everyone that won this past weekend, they're all going to be doing their rounds with the better podcasts out there. So I figured I'd just reach out to my boy Cruz and find out what happened in Texas. It'd be a probably better conversation anyways. But, dude, absolutely. What the hell? Dude, Texas has gotten beaten up this year. Yeah. Anything from crazy freezes to you know, like 200 year storms within like 3 months of each other, bombings. I mean, whatever. Like Texas is it's quite the place this year or the last year or two.
I love Texas though. Texas is the spot. If I could ever retire in Texas, I will. Either Texas or Table Rock, Missouri. It's where I'm gonna go. But Texas, it's been getting a lot of love from all sides. It rained for like, I don't know, a whole month straight. And so coming into Sam Rayburn, that was one of the concerns. But I haven't fished in so long that to me it was like, I don't care if it's thunderstorming, raining, tsunamis come through, COVID 2020, whatever, I'm going. And that was one of the concerns because the water level was 10 feet high. And I think at normal pool, it's 164 or 165. And the all-time record, like back in 92, was 175.25. Well, just the day before I left for Rayburn, the water level reached 175.15. And there was all kinds of videos and people posting on Facebook, locals posted on Facebook about the water levels being way crazy high, almost to the bridges where they couldn't get under the bridge if they wanted to on a boat. Some guy posted a video of water overflowing over the spillway wall. It was pretty crazy. But I trusted AJ and the guys from Hobie BOS that put that event together, and they had people on the ground and they knew what they were doing and everything turned out great.
Yeah, it looked like everyone had a great time. I mean, it's crazy when you look at some of the videos and like the footage, like you said, I was looking at a bridge. I'm like, there's no way a boat can get underneath that.
Yeah.
And people were showing me like picnic tables that were like 100 feet away from the water were underwater.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like I couldn't imagine being like AJ or any of those guys and thinking that they were still going to do that. I can only matter like what that operation.
If anything, the liability of it. Imagine if somebody was to go down there because you didn't cancel the event and somebody actually got hurt.
Yeah,
that's a big liability to take on. But they, like I said, they had people on the ground. They talked to the Army Corps of Engineers, and we thought it was going to be worse than it was. Water was actually fairly clear in most of the lake. We were expecting the lake to be completely blown out, but it wasn't. It was fishing actually pretty good. And it worked out.
How do you plan for that? You know what I mean? Like, because like, you know, like we all do before we go to these tournaments, we got our map studies and we're looking at videos. But this lake is no longer the same lake that was on that map. Like, it's got like, you know, hundreds of feet of new water to the cover and things like that. It's like, what was going into, especially, you know, you not being as active as you have been over the past few years, like looking at that lake, realizing that it was like a 100-year storm. That if things were going to be, you know, going there, thinking that things were probably going to be chaotic. What do you think?
I think the first thing that came through my mind was maximizing my tools that were available to me at the time. YouTube, obviously, being the main source of information, a lot of videos being put out about the water level, fishing reports from local anglers down there. Also, when you're doing your map, you can still do your map study from home. You just got to change your water level offset on your whatever program you use, either whether it's Navionics or the Garmin Active Captain, whatever you use, just add 10 feet to whatever level it's on there. And you can pretty much do the same map study that you would if the water levels were low. The most challenging thing was that a lot of the ramps were closed or completely underwater. Finding a place to safely launch onto the lake was probably the hardest thing to do at the time. And just to give you an example, we launched on the road. Like the road came to water because it was a smaller bridge and a little creek back a month ago. And now that entire area, probably a 300-meter, 400-meter stretch of the road was 10 feet on the water. So we literally drove down the road onto the lake where we launched. Just one single lane road. Trucks trying to back in and leave at the same time and launch. So it was challenging. It was so crazy that we launched on the side of the single lane road where ditches, drainage ditches, and they were full of water. So we literally launching made it kind of easy because you just pull up to the water, pick a side on which ditch you want to throw your kayak on, get on there and paddle out to the forest, literally trees everywhere. And you had to, with your map on your graphs, you had to find your way back to the old shoreline and then start fishing from there, whichever pattern you were going to fish. But the bite turned out great. I'm a little upset with the weather, man, because Saturday and Sunday were supposed to rain all day, and it rained for like 5 minutes. So me being the dumbass that I am, I wear shorts and a short sleeve shirt, and my feet are completely burnt to the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially like if you haven't really been fishing that much, like that, you get that first happened to me about a few weeks ago. Like I'm like, oh, I forgot. Yeah. You know, like I don't have that tough Florida skin anymore. Like I got, you know, I got to put suntan lotion on.
Yeah. So being away for so long, the preparation to it wasn't so much of a big deal, but adjusting to the situations that were happening during the event was probably the hardest part for me, because it started out cloudy and maybe a little bit of rain, but then it stopped raining and then the sun came out, no wind, and then the wind picked up and then the wind dies. And you're not fishing normal conditions. You're fishing 12 feet high. So are they, yeah, are they 100 feet into the island that used to be an island, or are they
right? Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. And I don't know if either one of us are experienced enough to answer this question, but like, what if fish do, like, you know, like how much, like, when you get big changes like that, like, you know, like what, like one picture I saw was like a concrete, like picnic table that was like underwater. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, well, do bass move up to that now? Because I mean, it's new waters. It's whatever. I mean, like, is that now a new piece of cover, even though it's temporary, even though it's only been there a few days maybe, or gradually gotten that way over the weeks? Like, does that now become a spot that you'd want to invest your time in?
I mean, I think so. You wouldn't fish it any other way, any other different than if you would fish our normal water level. If the water has been there long enough to become the new normal for the fish,
right.
Let's say it rains a lot today and the lake goes up 2 feet, and then they open the dam doors and it goes back down 2 feet within the same day, then the fish are all fucked up and they go deep. They find that little ditch or channel, and they go back in there because that's safe for them.
Right.
But when the water's been so high for so long, it's like, oh crap, we're now we got some new stuff to go explore, and new food and all kinds of new stuff. So yeah, some of them will move up. It's hard to tell which ones are moving up. That's why you practice. Time in the water being the most important thing you can do when you fish. Time in the water teaches you what the fish are doing at the time. You can do all the map study you want and all the video and YouTubing that you want, but unless you get in the water and you graph around and at least fish a little bit to find a pattern, are they on secondary points? And are they on main lake points? Are they halfway into the creek? Or are they all the way in the back of the creek? Well, in this case, are they all the way into the forest?
Right.
Are they on stumps or trees or grass or brushes? So practice is probably what gives you everything you need to know.
But did you like kind of witness like the life of the lake kind of move up with it? You know what I mean? Like I'm just gonna use that picnic table, because that was like the weirdest thing I saw. I'm sitting there looking at that picnic table, because you know it's a park. You know that's a park. You know a lot of it's like concrete, whatever parking lot, and then some of it's obviously like grass and things like that. It's like, did we see bait fish moving up around like some of that new cover and things like that? Could you actually see that? Like, oh wow, this is the new lake now. If it makes any sense.
Lots of bait fish. Lots of blow up in the water, way back into the woods, outside of the woods. Because it's just freedom of movement now for this fish and the bait fish that are out there. They just do whatever they want, whatever they feel comfortable going to,
right?
They're going to go to. And now there's so much new cover, like you said, new water.
New
it's like,
food.
Well, crap, it's a whole new lake. Let's go check it out.
Yeah, especially those bait fish. They're going to move up and get some of that new food that's coming in the water. I mean, it's just crazy to think. Like, I mean, I've seen it happen before. You know, living in the South, when I was stationed at Fort Stewart, we lived in a place called Jessup, Georgia, which is right off this like some river, and I watched it flood. And like my in-laws had like property that was like on a creek connected to the river. And, I mean, it came up all the way, and like it was just weird. Like where we'd go walking through the woods to get to our tree stands to hunt was now part of the lake. You know, like chest high in places that, you know, the water was still, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, maybe half a mile away, but now like it's chest high.
Yeah.
I can, you know, it's just. Just the, I mean, that changes everything. Like those are like all those trees now become cover until the water recedes. I mean, that's it.
To put it into perspective, Ryan Lambert was catching fish on somebody's backyard on a sloping grass yard that goes into the lake. He was catching fish on the yard. it was pretty wild. But yeah, as long as it remains, I think it's a rule of three. 3 days of the same conditions, the fish acclimates to that. And this was weeks worth of high water. So this is home now. And they were up in the bushes, and they were also deep on the old secondary points. So they were wherever they wanted to be.
All right, craziest place you caught a fish while you were down there.
So the road that we launched on, not a ramp, it's a road. On my way back to load up my kayak, I was going to move spots at around noon on day two just to see if I could get an upgrade or two, because 3 or 4 inches would put me into the money. It was that close from the 31st place that I was all the way up until 12th place, who paid a few hundred dollars. So at noon, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go and load up and find a new spot. On that road, that's now a road bed, I caught 3 fish and called 2.5 inches. So I would say out of that whole trip, that was the craziest spot, because this was at the very least 300 feet from where the old shoreline used to be. And this used to be a small creek. And now this whole dirt road is underwater and there's fish on that road. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So let me ask you, you're coming back. You came back from, whatever. I know, like, last year you were busy, being law enforcement. It was a crazy year, and so I know you weren't really as active as you usually been. But you're coming back, dude. Because I know for me, like, every winter, like, after winter's over and I finally come back, we get like a mandatory breakup here in the Northeast. You know what I mean? Like, once that snow and the ice starts coming in, we don't fish until what you would call late spring. But down south they would call late spring. But like every time I get back on the boat, man, there's things I have to remember how to do. And not the fishing part, but just the setups, the awareness of where my rods are, all that stuff. Because I went down to Sandy Cooper one time, wasn't prepared. I was hung up in trees. It was so bad. I mean, it was embarrassing. Like, what was some of getting the rust out issues that you have?
Standing up in a kayak again was kind of a little wobbly at first. I'm like, oh crap. I was running a crankbait and I kept hitting my stupid flag. Like, I cut up my crankbait. My flag still has like 2 crankbaits hooked up to it right now because I just can't get it out. But just going to cast a crankbait and coming back, stuck in a flag. I'm like, ah, damn it. That was part of it. And just learning how to control my kayak while casting at the same time on wind situations was probably tough.
Yeah. You stayed with the guys. I saw a video with you, Jeff, and Lambert. I feel like you had to take a shot to get ready to do the damn thing, but it seemed like it was a good get together for everybody.
We got a house. Jeff, Ryan, Lambert, myself, Mark Finger. Just a hobby fishing manager, Ramey out of New Mexico. I lose you in my videos. We had a house and it was a blast. We had a lot of fun sharing the house and talking about fishing and having a drink or two. Went out to the bars, had a crazy encounter with a crazy Texas chick talking about wanting to two-step, and nobody wanted a two-step, so she started throwing out 300. And on the lakefront, pretty drunk. It was a good time having all your friends. A lot of people think that our friendship is just online, and it's not. We get together quite a bit, and especially Jeff Malott and I have been together quite a few times. This is my second time. I know that quite good.
Well, cool. Hey, do me a favor. Can you hold on? It's working now. You were kind of breaking up there for a second, but I guess it's all good to go now.
Am I good?
Actually, can you come back out and come out and I'll bring you back in. All right. Look like it's better. All right. Well, shit. So what was the tournament you did before this one? You said you did 2 this year so far.
I went to Lake of the Ozarks, the Moyak Fishing Series event, Lake of the Ozarks, and the All-American Series, which was in conjunction with the Moyak, deal. So two events in one. And it was a leg of the Old Turks, and it was a blast. I caught a 20 3/4, my first one. I thought it was like a 10-pounder. I texted everybody, like an 8-pounder. It's probably like 5 or 6 pounds, but it was a 20.5 for me, and it looked so big. It was my first big one of the year. My first big one in a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So that was a lot of fun.
You don't do a lot of fishing locally? You do all your fishing traveling?
I have one local club here that hold on, my little pup is being crazy right now. Shut up. I have one local club here that it's a lot of fun, but the lakes around here are just not all that good. And you know, I love to support my local guys, and I do anything they need me to do for them to help them grow. And I show up to as many events as I can, but paying $20 buy-in and spending $60 just to get to the lake on gas, hour and a half, two-hour drive, it's just tough. And now I work weekends now, so I have to take off of work, and it's sometimes harder for me to take off of work. So I rather use the time of work that I can get to go to the larger, kind of like a bigger stage events.
Yeah, well, how do you stay sharp, though, man? That's like me. I got to fish 3 or 4 times a week. I don't know. That's how my brain works. You know, it's like you got to practice. Like, I'm always in the water. Like, how does that drive you crazy?
I think it's just like riding a bike. I think a lot of people complicate fishing more than, I think we've talked about this before too. A lot of people complicate fishing more than it should be. Fish what works for you. Fish what you know. A lot of people get so into the whole dock talk. My buddy's catching him on a crankbait, or they're catching him on an underspin. And meanwhile, you only caught him on, I don't know, a Senko, flipping a Senko or something. So you change your whole game the first hour of the tournament because you haven't caught him on a Senko, but your buddy told you yesterday that he was catching him on a crank. So you put a crank on, and it just ruins your whole day. I think if you just stick to what you know and your style of fishing, if you're a shallow fisherman, stick to the shallow. If the shallow bites there, rockets. But if it's not, you're just not going to have a very good tournament.
It might have been you, because I know I've had that conversation before, but I think that was my biggest change this year. And you know, I've had a lot of success this year, especially locally, but even like some of the events I traveled to was, you know, like, I don't even like to pre-fish that much anymore. Like, I like to go out in the water and see and find my spots, but like, I don't, you know, like, I know, like, you're like, oh shit, there's grass here, I can fish this. Like, I move on, there's grass, you know, whatever, and I find these spots. And you know, my success has come from like literally like going in the water for a few hours and getting off, like not going out there and like just finding my spots and having confidence in like the things that I do, that I'll be able to make those spots work for me. It's really weird, but I'm actually, the less I pre-fish, the less I
confuse yourself.
Yeah, the less I get into it, the better I do come tournament day. I was at Candlewood, and I completely fell apart on day one, but day two, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go to this spot because I know there's rocks and there's some grass here, and I'm just going to fish. I ended up like placing in the top 20. Didn't even pre-fish the area. Just went out there. Like, I just found a spot. Like, I'm just going to fish the shit out of this. And I ended up doing a lot better than like trying to be like so prepared. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think you can be – because, I mean, how many people pre-fish and how many people get their asses kicked? You know what I mean? Like, how many people go out there for a week just to skunk come tournament day because they these plans are supposed to work? But it's just like – no, dude, at the end of the day, it's still fish. Like, you have to go out there and you got to fish, and you got to be able to change. But you got to have like your comfort zones too, I think. And that's a lot of things that I wasn't doing like last year. I was just like, if this didn't work, I freak out and I go and I just start doing way too much instead of just like dialing it in and just focusing on like, just like, okay, you like to fish grass. That's what you like to do. You like to find the grass edge. You'll use a Texas rig. You'll use a chatterbait or whatever. Like, these are the techniques that you like to do. Like, you're going to do these techniques until you find fish. That's it. Like, you're not going to do anything else. You're not going to make any big movements. You know you can fish these areas. So, like, quit making excuses. It's not that the bite's hard. It's that you're being hard-headed about the whole situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's exactly what we talked about a year and a half ago or a year ago, whatever. It's that fishing will always be this. It's called seasonal patterns because there are seasons to the patterns, right?
Yeah.
So we know that in the wintertime and the summertime, they go deeper. Springtime, fall, we don't know. They're all over the place. But in the springtime, they come up to spawn, right? For the most part. Fall, in my opinion, it kind of resembles a little bit of the spring as well. And summer, so it's kind of weird. But you know that they're going to be possible in a late summer pattern or on a sort of like spring pattern feeding before going into the winter. Yeah. So it's called seasonal patterns for a reason. Understanding how the fish move, understanding the weather, and understanding the patterns that the fish are in based on the season takes out a lot of the issues out of the equation. But then again, time in the water is irreplaceable. You have to at least throw one or two casts just to see what they're doing, or at the very least, graph around. Yeah. You can see fish in your graphs. Oh, there's a fucking school of fish right here on the secondary point of a main lake. There's like 30 of them right on top of this brush pile. I know based on my experience and everything that I've done that if I throw a Carolina rig or a jig or maybe crank right by the brush pile, I'm going to catch those fish. So I'm not going to mess with them. I want them to be there tomorrow, but I know there's fish 10 to 15 feet on a brush pile, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Fish your strength.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant. Like when I said like pre-fish, like, I still go out there, but it's no longer like long drug out thing. It's really just go out there and like it's just so funny. Like there's been times where I go out, and I'm done in 2 hours. You know, when I did Cayuga, you know, I had plans to fish all day. You know, Greg Blanchard was in New York, and it was the first time we met, and we're like, all right, we're gonna go pre-fish and get ready for this tournament. And like literally, like you know, I told my wife, said, dude, just fish all day. I was at home like by 9 a.m. You know, just not just super common. I just found what I needed. I found the grass. I found the pockets. I found, you know, the things that I know bass like to have. And like, I knew what the bottom composition was. I knew all these things. It's like, yeah. I don't need to do anything more. Like if I can't catch fish here, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to catch fish anywhere. That's how I felt. It's just like, I'm either going to catch fish here or I'm just not gonna be able to catch fish. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, it's like this, I don't know. I think it's all about finding what brings the fish instead of more likely like finding the, cause the fish are there. You know, I mean, if there's bait fish there, if there's cover, if there's structure, why wouldn't they be there? I mean, or it's just going to be a hard day. I don't know. It's just to me, just when I watch people and to each their own, like, you know, whatever works for you. But like, to me, I just, there's no way I want to be out there for 3 days in a row, all day long, just pre-fishing. There's no way my brain can handle that much input. Handle that many options. Like, I'm one of those guys. I gotta take options away from myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I fucked up at a lot of tournaments. It's like I had way too many options and too many things to think about. I gotta take away all that. I gotta find a part of the lake, and no matter what, I'm staying in that part of the lake. I'm not moving anywhere else.
It's gotta have the right ingredients. So it can't just be exactly. Like, okay, this is it, and that's, you gotta find fish. Gotta be there. It's gotta have the right ingredients. Has to have cover, structure. Yeah. Maybe near a main channel or secondary channel.
Shallow water that leads to deep water or whatever, you know, those kind of things. That's it. I mean, and like it's like you said, like I know what my strengths are, and I'm not gonna go away from those during a tournament. Like that might be something I do during, like, you know, fun fish. You know, I might go out there and try to catch offshore smallmouth, but come tournament day, you know, those smallmouth can eat a dick. I'm not going anywhere near those things. I'm going after those largemouth that are hanging out in the grass, you know, underneath mats or whatever. But that's just you can't stretch yourself too thin, because tournament fishing is hard, especially when it's not, you know, especially when you wake up early in the morning, get in the water, and there is no early morning bite.
Yeah.
You know, like when 2 hours into it, you haven't caught a fish.
Yeah. And the wheels fall off right away. Yeah, you're like, right, well, away. Crap. Josh said that he was catching them on an underspin. Let me tie one on. I've never thrown it, but it worked for him, so it's got to work for me. And that's the biggest problem. And we talked about this before too. Winning pre-fishing, it's a legit problem. There's guys that don't know how to pre-fish. They have expensive graphs, they have expensive kayaks, and they got all this mapping and all this $200 worth of ultra HD, whatever, contour bottoms and live scopes, but they're not using it to their advantage when they're pre-fishing. They're going out there and they beat the hell out of the fish. Yeah. And then they come back on day one and day two and the fish are not biting because they're sore lipped, and they're like, well, what the hell happened? Yeah. Well, you fucked up, bro. So that's what happened.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think, you know, talking to people like you and Lambert and Adam Reiser is a good one that I talked to. Like how to simplify fishing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I've strayed away from like trying to buy all the good big stuff, the Panoptics, the, you know, I got a decent, you know, fish finder and things like that.
Great tools though, and it definitely raises the bar
if you're ready for them. You know what I mean?
Like, if you know how to use them,
dude. If you're a graphing guy, and like if you love electronics, you love sonar, and that's your thing, and you know, before you started fishing, you were working on a submarine, you know, whatever, like whatever. You know, I get it. That is a strength. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm slowly, gradually getting better at using my graph, but I'm not the graph guy. That's not my thing. Like, I need to know what's underwater. I need to know the temperatures. I need to know some things, but I don't depend on that thing. Not because I'm the super cool guy who lives a minimalist life. It's just like, dude, if I got on that thing, I try to play with that graph and I try to use that as my strength, dude, I'd be out like, dude, I would be sabotaging myself because it would take me away from where I need to be. I see a lot of people have this stuff. It's like, dude, you just started fishing. Because I know a lot of people like you started around the same time. Like, we're about 3-4 years into this, and we don't have a history of big boats running across the lake using a fish farm. Like, we don't have that kind of history. And here you are, you got the best rig out here. You got the nicest.
And you still ain't winning.
And like, it's like, and you've been out here a week. And you're still skunking at these tournaments. And I know fishing's hard, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you might want to like change it up. Go back a few steps and hit some of those things.
Learn how to fish first.
Learn how to fish, you know. It's like, I mean, you can't just go out there, like, go from training wheels to flying fighter jets. You know what I mean? Like, it takes some time. It takes some experience. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. To me, just, like, the more I take away and the more I stop trying to be, like, you know, one of those guys, like, dude, the better, like, my fishing has been. Like, it's like you said, like really focusing in on your strengths and just cutting away the excess bullshit. Like, I'm not a crankbait guy. Don't put a fucking crankbait on my boat. That's just not me. I'm not a – I've tried it. I tried it because it sounds so sexy and cool, but I'm just not a crankbait guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to take those out of my boat. I had to get rid of those rods, and I had to, like, just focus.
There's a time and a place for those, though.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's good to learn those techniques. It's good to be knowledgeable in all those techniques. Find what works for you, but also have a plan B, C, and D. Learn those techniques, because one day that flipping bite might not be there, or the spinning bait might not be there. So if you have to pick up a crankbait, you're like, well, crap, I've never thrown a crankbait, but I know how to use it, and this sets up right for a crankbait, so I'm going to throw it. Next thing you know, you smash him, and that's when the light bulb clicks in. And you're like, "Oh crap, that's what it's supposed to feel like. That's what the cast looks like."
Yeah.
And then you just learn from there.
Give me a second. I gotta say goodnight to the little man. All right. Hey, buddy. Oh, big hug. All right, you're embarrassing me. I agree. You know, but I guess, like, the difference is, like, learning like to do these things at the right time. Like, I just don't, like, dude, to tournament fishing is so stressful as it is. I can't throw random shit in there. Like, I have to have a system. Maybe some people are different. I can't fart the hip. You know, it's got to be a systematic approach the way I do it. And it's the only way I've had success. You know what I mean? Like, knowing how I'm going to start the morning off, you know, how I want to fish this grass. And then knowing like what changes I will make, you know, if I can't find a bite here, this is how I'm going to, you know, like, and then here's the thing I throw, like, you know, I'll throw a chatterbait. If the chatterbait doesn't work, I'm going to go to a swim jig. If the swim jig doesn't work, I'm going to, you know, and then, like, whatever. I have my approach, like my failure, like my, whatever, like.
But how do you know that it doesn't work? At what point do you say, okay, this is not it. I'm switching.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's why I bounce back. You know what I mean? Like, whenever I'm tearing apart water, like, I'm going through my system, my approach, you know what I mean? And I don't know if it's the right answer, but it's just like, I don't know. It's fine. You know, like, obviously you're thinking about the water column, like, where they're sitting on this grass. Are they low in it? Are they high? Are they suspending?
That's where you have your graphs. That's when your graphs come into play.
And then what is my way to attack those different columns or things like that? So I have, like, that kind of setup. I don't have like a million things for each of those things. I have, like, one or two tricks for each, you know, whatever, you know, the way I like to fish. And that's about it, man. I try to keep things as simple as I possibly can, because I just can't. You'll see, like, I used to come back from fishing, and my rig would just be a mess of shit. I'd have.
Yeah.
You have to be careful, because you might get stuck with a crankbait, man, because they'd be all over the place.
Something that works for me, I call it the rule of 30. I don't know if that's the name of it. That's what works for me.
Sounds cool.
I found a specific area, I don't know, 50 yards maybe, and I cast. If it looks, it's got potential on the map, and the graph show that there's some kind of life fish, bait fish, 30 cast, different angles, move on. Next.
Now, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it went crazy. You're talking about the 30, like you cast 30.
Yeah, 30 casts, and then one tree, 30 casts. No, like that area, within give it 15, 20 yards, move around a little bit, nothing, move on to the next spot. But another thing that works, and this is something that I adapted to fishing, in my profession, we call it 1+1. When there's a bad guy, there's another bad guy somewhere, right? And yeah, if you always have that mentality, you're not going to get hurt because the job is not done. I got one, but there might be somebody else here. So a lot of people are going down the bank and they'll catch a fish and they'll keep going down the bank. Brother, yeah, where are you going? Fish are schooling fish for a reason.
Yeah.
Very rarely do they move around by themselves. They do, but more often than not, they're schooling. It'll be a couple of them. So if you catch a fish in that tree stump, throw another one on that tree stump again. Maybe there's another one in there. Yeah. Maybe there's not. Maybe throw it to the right or to the left or behind it. Give it another shot. Give it a couple casts in there. But a lot of people go, oh, one fish, keep going. Another fish, keep going. And next thing you know, they only have three fish by the end of the day because you didn't work in a specific area. You just beat the bank all the way down and didn't find this fish. Well, you found it, but you kept going. Yeah. So 1+1 always works.
Yeah. So, you know, back to the 30-30 thing, like, I found myself staying like longer, you know what I mean? I don't know, like I might change it up, you know, as I start getting a little more like confident, but I don't leave areas like I used to, you know, like expect, and it, now it depends. Like if I'm fishing a grass, I'm staying in that grass and I'm dragging, I'm fishing it for a long time. Like, and that's what I mean. Like I'm starting off with a chatterbait or something like that. And then if that's not working, I'll start slow rolling the chatterbait, yeah, and like digging it through. And then if that doesn't work, okay, I'm gonna drag a Texas rig in here for a while. And like, I'll really stay at these areas like a very long time. Cause leaving it doesn't make sense to me because it's like, I'm probably gonna have the same issues down the bank that I'm having right here. So it's like, I'm either going to make this spot work or I got to go to the ledge or I got to go. Sure. I got to change something up at that point. I got to go shallower. I got to go deeper. I got to go, you know, things like that is what I start thinking about. Now, I don't really think about leaving areas, but I try to find a way to make that area work.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, you know, and like I said earlier, it's depending on the season, but like, you know, they either want to be up, and if they're up, they're going to be hungry as shit. You know, if they're shallow, like they're up shallow for a reason, or they're going to go back. But they're not going to, I've come to find that like, they're kind of like, there's not really big movements I got to make. I just got to figure out where they are over here. You know what I mean?
And what they want,
especially what they want. So I don't know. To me, it's just been like a lot more slower than what I used to do in the past. Like I hang out in areas for a very long time now compared to what I used to do. I used to be like cast, you know, like 5-10 minutes, I'm moving. 5-10 minutes, I'm moving. I feel like, you know, you end up moving more than you're actually, you know, casting.
You miss your chance. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways to think about it. I mean, I can't say that any way's right or wrong. I can only say like what's really been working for me this year compared to the maniac I used to be like the last few years. You there?
Oh. You're about my phone's going out?
No, you went out for a second.
Yeah, I tell you though, I hear a lot of people do that. They just want to beat the band.
All right. So, anyways, I'm gonna go back to just the Rayburn just a little bit, man. People were doing really, really good there. Like, I saw like everyone seemed to be having a lot of success there. Like, what was like the magic day? Like, what was the magic there? Like, I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, it was pretty much a slugfest. It looked like.
It wasn't as much of a slugfest as people wanted it to be. I mean, it is like some Rayburn. We were expecting 100 inches day to win the thing, and the best we got was low 90s. And not everybody got low 90s. There was a lot of 70s and a lot of 80s. So the fishing was good.
That's what I mean. I guess I'm saying not a slugfest. That'd be the wrong way to say it. But like, I watched, like, you know, you look, you see the top people, you'll see like the meat. It looked like everyone was like kind of just like doing really like decent. Yes. You know,
the bite was good, but the big ones were not biting as often as we expected them to be. But the bite was really good. Everybody caught a lot of people, almost everybody caught a limit both days. And I think the average was in the 80s for everybody. So
that's a good tournament. That's a tournament that, like, you know, just about everyone drives home with a smile on their face instead of like, you know, like most tournaments where you got like a quarter of the roster pissed off because they couldn't they only caught like two or three fish, or mm-hmm. they didn't catch any fish at all. And that's a long ride home after spending the $260 entry fee, the $1,000 traveling stuff like I mean, I don't expect to win, but I want to have a good time. And if you ain't catching fish, there's not much fun in that.
Yeah, agreed. But yeah, it was great. Fishing was great. I know, although everybody caught good fish, it would have been awesome to see a lot of bigger limits, but it's understandable. 11 feet high, 10, 11 feet high. So I bet you the big ones were during practice, they were deep. They were 15 to 20 feet, main lake points or some kind of secondary point, or mostly on main lake points. They were not trying to move up. They're bigger, smarter, wiser for a reason. The little ones, though, the 15, 16s, they were everywhere. This fish got caught on absolutely everything. Crankbaits, spinnerbaits, flipping brushes or Carolina rigs or underspins, everything. They were biting everything. There was not one set pattern across the whole lake. Anything that you threw, they were biting it. Because, I mean, they were just wanting to eat.
Yeah. Well, you had to be pretty stoked. You're being like your first Hobie event in a long time. You know, day one, I think you were like top 20. I think you were like sitting at 17 or something like that. And then
I think 17, 18. Yeah.
And that had to feel pretty good. Like, I mean, like you still got it, Cruz.
I honestly, this trip for me was more of a reconnecting with the whole kayak fishing scene or community, not necessarily community, but just me getting back on a boat in and on itself. And I also wanted to record, which I made a little video.
I'm
starting a little series called The Perfect Cast, which would essentially document the whole tournament fishing, traveling, some of the adversities that we may be faced with while getting ready for a tournament, like 11 feet high water at Tim Rayburn, or rain, or on your way there, you get a flat, stuff like that. Basically just document the atmosphere, not necessarily so much on the whole POV kind of with the chesting camera fishing type crap. That's everybody and their mom is doing that. I'm trying to be more, and I don't want to say cinematic. I think that sounds pretty lame when I say cinematic.
It's like you're trying to document the actual experience. And like, I try to tell people all the time, like, it's not, The fishing is that's the easy part. It's the everything else that goes into the sport. It's the
preparing for it.
Yeah, it's the conversation you have with your wife about letting I talk to my wife about these things. Like, babe, I would like to go fish the Hobie Lake Champlain. It's an honest conversation you got to have. Like, it's going to cost $260 to go, or to get the entry fee. And it's probably going to cost about at least another $500
expenses.
Expensive, and that's a close tournament. That's a 4 or 5 hour tournment. It might be a completely waste of money. But that's part of it. Those kind of conversations, and then it's the making sure you got your AAA card, because if something will go wrong, it's going to go wrong, and you might have to. You might have to cut down your pre-fishing time to fix a goddamn tire.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like there's a whole experience to this thing, man.
Yeah, and that series, I want to document that, like the practice, the adversities, and how do you overcome those things, and maybe even win a check or two. So I focused a lot on filming and on my pre-fished for literally 2 hours from 11 to 1. I fished all morning with Jeff Sherwood and Matt Ramey on practice day prior to the event. On day one, I did not really film a whole lot because we were supposed to have thunderstorms all day, which never happened. So it kind of ruined my mojo there. But I just focused on fishing. And on day two, I did a little more filming. And I'm putting it together right now. I think I'll show you the intro.
Yeah, it looks badass. Dude, like, I'll tell you what, like, dude, you got some pretty damn good editing skills. I mean, I fuck around with GoPros and cameras and stuff, but like, that's the easy stuff. It's the editing that's the reason why I don't do a YouTube.
So this right here.
Yeah, that's so sad.
That's a big GoPro.
Yeah, it's a gigantic GoPro. But I mean, like, it looks really good. Well done. I know you did a memorial thing one or something like that for your boys last year. I saw. I mean, it's just the editing is just really, really good. And that's the part, like, people ask, like, when are you going to start your YouTube channel? I'm like, I don't know, when, like, 2-3 years of learning how to edit it. Because to me, that's what makes these videos so good. If not, it's like you said, you're just another jackass with a camera on your chest. You just video yourself from catching fish. And it's like, that's not really telling a story. And then that's just, you're a dime a dozen. Like, everyone's doing that. It's like, and not saying you just can do that. You know, like, go ahead, do your own.
On that same note, don't wait. Start it. And you'll learn as you go. Because you're going to start building that community and that following.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to get better. You don't have to wait for you to have all the equipment. You don't have to wait for you to be perfect or learn how to do all these cool effects. Just do it. That's probably – I don't just get out there and film yourself and put it together and put it out there, because that's the only way you're going to learn is doing it. So don't wait to have the expensive camera or all the editing skills. Just put something together and go have fun doing it and enjoy it.
Well, what do you do? Because, dude, you do so much stuff. I mean, obviously, like your normal life stuff. You got like 1,000 kids, you know. You fish. Outdoorsman coffee. Dude, you make badass videos, dude. But the thing is, like, you're not sticking to one and making it your thing. Like, you're just kind of like all over the place. Like, just dibble dabbling. Is there anything like you like really want to do? Like, I mean, like, is there anything that, like, you're like me, I'm a podcaster. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this podcast. I don't know if it's ever gonna be bigger than what it is, but it's what I spend a lot of my effort in. Like this is my creation. This is what I'm building. What are you trying to do, man? Like, I mean, like, cuts coffee, videos.
That's my biggest problem, I think. And the fact that you pointed that out is pretty eye opening, because I, like you said, I do a lot and I'm good at a lot. But I'm not the best at a lot, because I don't put, instead of doing 100% into one thing, I got 20% into five things.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest issue, my biggest challenge in life is putting all my energy into something else. And I think it's because I get bored. I do something for a while and then I lose interest and I find something else. And it's that, and you were in the military, it's always chasing that new exciting thing. And it's just never ending. It's endless. You will never find that new exciting thing until you can put all your focus into the one thing that you love and turn that into an exciting thing. And I just need to learn how to do that. But
you know how to hustle. I know that. Like, it's not like you're lazy or anything. It's just like, I mean, it's just everything. I mean, like, your videos are good. Like, and I can't imagine what trying to start a coffee company. But I imagine that's not the easiest thing to do. But I mean, it's just like, I know you hustle. I would love to know, like, what's your short range, you know, your short target, you know, whatever, like your short term goals, long term goals. Like, what do you really want to do with all this stuff? Because I don't know. I mean, you only got so much time. You only got so much youth. You only have, and then all these things. It's like, you know, it's, what do you want to do? I mean, like, I
love money. And a lot of people are like, oh, not everything is about money. And you're right. Not everything is about money, but I want the freedom that comes with having money.
Yes.
I want to be able to tell my wife, hey, pack your shit. We're going back to my country, the Dominican Republic, Thursday. It's Tuesday. It's fine. We'll leave Thursday. I want that freedom. I want that freedom to do whatever I want, when I want it, without having to worry about, oh, I got a job or the bills. How am I going to pay the bills? So I work, I don't know, 14, 16 hours a day. Sometimes I can't even remember what I ate the day before for breakfast. I put out maybe 80, 90 hours a week amongst my regular job, my outdoorsman coffee company, my editing videos, and all the other hustling stuff that I do. But I don't know exactly what is the one thing that's going to make me stick to that. And that's what I'm trying to find. You know, MJ, I'm an 80s baby. So Michael Jordan, and I don't know if this is the one who said it, but you only miss the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
So I'm just shooting my shots and hoping that one of them will be the one. So.
Yeah, that's a good enough answer. I mean, like, it's simple. We don't know what the fuck we want. Like, it's just like,
you know,
like,
I'm 35, and if I put a lot of energy into worrying about not being where I should be, I would lose my mind. So I'd rather focus on where I want to continue to move forward towards, and put all my energy into that, and that's financial freedom and and happiness. Well, money doesn't buy happiness. You're right. Money doesn't. But the shit that you do, shit that you do when you got money, goddamn, it does make you happy. So
I think like my thing, and it might be some of your issues, I've never been in a place in life where I could pursue things that I really wanted to pursue. You know what I mean? Like before, you know, before like, you know, I got out of the Army in 2013, like, you know, I joined when I was during like 9/11 when I was 18, you know, so like all my whole life, like there was no pursuing anything else. It was just, you wake up, you do PT, and
it was, it was structure. It was, it, it was structure.
That was my whole life. You know, a hobby was that. It was just a hobby. There was no, like, how far can I take this? It's like, all right, I got a weekend. I might be able to go do this. You know, I might have a few hours after work. I can go shoot or whatever it is that y'all want to do. And like now I'm in this place where it's like, oh, well, I can create shit and pursue shit. And it's like, oh, you like, dude, like I'm traveling, I'm fishing everywhere, I'm running a podcast. I never would have thought that, like, I never would have had anything that never would have happened in the past. And so now I have like this freedom to be able to pursue things. It's like, for one, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just not used to this kind of, I'm used to having like, and that's why, you know, it's funny when you look at when I got out of the Army, you know, what kind of job did I get right back into? I got into like EMS, another structure, another
police
selfless,
officer,
another selfless service job, another, you know, we're like we're, you're constantly giving. You know, it's hard for me to do things where like it doesn't have that kind of purpose to it. Like where it's just like, oh, I'm just doing this because I love it.
Or and
I'm
that's just doing the key. This. Yeah. That's the key word right there, purpose. Yeah. And I think when I hear people talk about PTSD and depression, both very real. But the main key is finding purpose again. You go from being cool, maybe a staff sergeant first class, or a master sergeant, first sergeant major. You go from being in charge and knowing what the fuck you're doing because you've been doing that your whole life to nobody gives a fuck, brother. You are now in the real world. Yeah. So you have to start over and you have to learn that I need to find purpose. Yeah. And I think that's where I'm at. And I don't know where my purpose is. That's why I do so much. And I do all of it good. And I hope that one of them would present me with the rest of my life.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, I don't know how many times I think about just shutting the podcast down. It might be weekly, maybe once a week or whatever, but I'm like, what am I doing with this? Like, what is the reason I'm doing this? Like, this is just foolish. I need maybe I should just go back and not just go back, but just I should focus on my job. I should just get all the hours I can, become a manager. You know, like,
does your job provide you the growth that you need to provide for your family? In a way that you can do whatever you want when you want it, though. And those are the things that drive me.
Yeah.
I want to provide for my family to where they will never have to worry about anything. Yeah. And so I work my ass off now so that tomorrow we don't have to worry about it.
Oh, absolutely. That's what the job is. You know, I got a job where, you know, like it's shift work, but I can pick and choose when I want to work because I'm in a career field where they need paramedics more than I need them. So, I had this open schedule where I'm able to do the podcast, I'm able to make these travel and do these fishing events and things like that. But at the same time, it's just so weird because that's a job that does have a purpose.
Yeah.
Every time I put the uniform on, you know, I go to a house, people need me. I have to be on my A game because, you know, life and death decisions have to be made. And so when I'm doing something as selfish, and a lot of times I was like, dude, what's your problem? Like, you deserve to be selfish a little bit.
Exactly.
It's like you spent your whole life in service to others. It's like, dude, just serve yourself, dude. Like, you want to do a podcast, you don't need a fucking reason. Go do a podcast just because do it. You know, like I said, like, it's hard for me to live like that because I'm not used to, you know, even now I've been out for 5 years or 4 years and I still have a problem like
doing shit for yourself.
Doing shit for myself, you know, or pursuing like literally, could you make a career out of podcast? I think I could.
You got a lot of good things going. Can you remember when you first started? I think I was one of your first.
You're my first
guest. And you got a good thing, man. You got fucking sponsors. You got all these viewers that follow your stuff. You've created a character, Josh Smith, the character, the guy that bombs and beers every day on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? That's you. That's your persona. And although it may not look like that to you, to the people that follow you, you are a character in their life.
Yeah.
You give them purpose. And that's the thing that you got to understand. Your mind is the most powerful piece of equipment that you could ever have in this entire life.
Right.
And if you can put your mind into doing something, nobody but you can stop you from doing what you want to do. So where is this podcast going to go? Who fucking knows? Keep doing it, though.
Give it
everything you got. Keep doing it. Next thing you know, you might be the next Joe Rogan, dude.
Who knows? All right, man. Well, we'll end on that because if not, we're gonna I'm gonna end up starting a self help podcast. but dude, I appreciate. I wanted to catch up, man. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. It got hard when COVID. Cause I know you're working all the time and stuff like that. But I'm glad to see you back in the kayak. I'm glad to see your name in the leaderboard, closer to the top. So man, I'm looking forward to seeing what else you do. I'm not sure if I'm able to make it. I'm doing a few Hobie events. I'm not sure how many you're doing. But hopefully we'll be able to cross paths and drink beer together one day, man.
We need to make it happen. Either whether it's fishing or not, I'm going to come to New York and see you.
All right, bro. I appreciate it, man. And I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks for having me.
All right.